On this episode of Chicago Beer Cast, Nick and I are drinking the latest Deep Woods series lineup, Death Star, Cafe Death, and Death by Raspberries. We also got some Bodum and some Claire's Thirsty Ale as a backup here as we dive into the lineup. Nick talks about his trip to Milk Money and a whole bunch more. All that on this episode.
Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Cast. I'm Brad Schwarzewski.
Hey, Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're changing locations, different sounds. It's all over the place over here.
You know, it's akin to a traveling road show, so.
Basically, yeah.
You know, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, last week, we were rocking the chairs, and we had some audio issues, so that one probably sounds a little different, but you get a different view if you're watching the video.
Yeah, different view of the house, and stuff like that.
Yeah, hopefully the audio wasn't too bad, and I think we're working through some kinks as we, we're not in our studio or our normal home.
I was drinking out of my Loose Keys coffee mug today.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, you know, back in the day we used to go to Loose Keys, man.
I know, yeah. But now we have a lot more beer and food here. We didn't have food at the office.
A lot more warm situation here. Like warm and inviting. Feels nice.
And more props. We got props. But we've been busy in the pre-show because we've been drinking some 14% beers before we get started here.
Deep Woods is upon us, 2021/2022, and the first three entries in the new Deep Woods series released today. So we hung out with Revolution and got all the deets on it.
Yeah, all the deets on the deets.
All the deets on the deets.
So we have Deets Tar or Death Star, Cafe Deets. And then, Death by Raspberries, Death by Raspberries.
Yeah, and I think officially you can go Death or Death.
Right. But then I feel like I should say Death.
I feel like Death's Tar, I go Death, but for anything else, I go Death.
Right.
Or no, but Death's Tar, Death's Tar and Cafe Death, I go Death.
I go Cafe Death, but then the other ones I go Death. By Raspberry or like, so that's where I like, do you pick a lane?
Right. I think if there's a buy in it, then you go Death. Okay. But if there's no buy, you go Death.
That's how you roll?
I feel that's how, I feel like
swing?
Up to this point, that's how I've been swinging, man.
But Raspberry is the new kid on the block, right?
Yeah, man. What was it? They walked us through it. Cheers to the whole Revolution crew. Maybe we should call them out. You know, the manager of barrels, Marty Scott. You know, and I know that's not his title, but you know, he's the lead barrel, you know,
barrel guy.
And brewmaster Jim Seaback, Doug Vilecki, I think he's the CFO, and their lead marketing guy is Jonathan Carruthers. John Carruthers, probably.
Yes, we had a nice little...
I just added Jonathan for some reason, because we're sauced off this fucking 14% beers, man.
No, these are big beers.
Yeah.
And they even like upped their format too into a bigger format this year. Death Star is in 55-ounce cans. what's
you can buy a growler. You can buy a growler of fucking Death Star this year, you know, with a new logo.
No, really. What's the size of this one?
19.2.
Okay.
So I think on the call, the conversation was, you know, they're a can brewery now, but the Death Star program started in Bombers, and instead of returning to Bombers, you know, they came with the 19.2 format as kind of a special occasion type of offering to actually go alongside the standard 12-ounce four-pack that everything else from Deep Woods comes in.
So, I think, yeah, they said special occasion on the call. I don't see that. Like, when you bring one of these cans to someone's house, or when you decide to open it, it's already fairly of a special occasion. And I'm good with a little bit, or half a glass, or sharing it. I don't need a bigger format. If I really wanted to, I'd open another can, but I probably want to open another variant of it, or another offering, raspberry, or supermassive, or honey, or something like
that. Other stuff that we drank, that's what we liked about this beer, is that it came in cans, and you could have these, you know, choices, right?
But you want to commit it to the bomber.
Exactly. That's what made it. That was part of the appeal. I mean, that, and it's really fucking good. But I think with the can, you know, I feel like it's got something to do with the new graphics. Like the D-Star can has completely new graphic structure, and they talked about that. Everything from the font on the words to like this really cool artwork. And this plays better on the 19-2 canvas.
Sure.
So I think the graphics are driving the why it's in this can.
But they said those graphics are coming to the 12-ounce cans next year.
Oh, so that went everything I just says out the window. So we're back to wide, big-ass cans.
Right, because you don't get a big-ass can of their other ones of IPA to share with someone else. You're like, no, I just wanted more beer.
I think this is going to be confusing for some people because they talked about it on the show at Sox Park. The Deepwood series is not available. Because the Sox said, absolutely not. People don't understand this. They're going to order them and be fucking hammered.
Yeah.
And then, but the can is, what is it? Fifth City's in the can? And Anti-Heroes in the big 19.2-ounce can.
Yeah.
And that's really for commuters, right? Getting on Metra. We talk about Metra all the time. You can drink on the platform and on this train. That size can is for commuters. So people are going to see this can, not understand it's 15%.
Oh, stout.
and off we go. People are going to get fucking hammered off this thing.
What's that can price? $20?
They say it's going to be $12 at the release party.
For a can?
A 19.2-ounce can.
That feels like a better deal. What, you get a four-pack for $30?
If I go to Beermiscuous and I get a can of Death Star, it's going to be $10 a can.
Little can.
Right. Yes, 12-ounce can.
Yeah.
So
if you can get a but Beermiscuous is gonna charge $16 for the 19 can if they had it.
If they had it, they should charge $20.
Yeah.
I think everybody should overcharge so that people who don't usually drink this beer aren't confused that this is something you should be drinking out of a can.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, we're gonna keep talking about these, and then also to keep ourselves a little in check, we've got some Bodam.
Yeah, good job by you on the Bodam.
So Bodam from Half Acre. It's in 12-ounce cans now. I was at Binny's and I saw it. And I was going between that and Flywheel. And I hadn't had a Bodam in a long time. And I opened one last night. And it was just, damn, it was good.
It hits the spot. I think it's got 7 different hops in it. And then, you know, and they're going in the opposite direction. They were 16-ounce cans for the Bodam, and now they're 12-ounce cans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is an interesting play by Revolution with the 19.2. Maybe they're just ahead of the curve, you know. It's funny because everyone else is going 8-ounce. Like, people want 8-ounce. You know, I've seen some 8-ounce cans, you know, maybe from St. Laurent. They come with the 8-ounce stouts.
Yeah, they said they're, you know, on the call, they said they've had good results with their large 19-ounce cans in those formats. I think a lot of people enjoy the 8-ounce can or the smaller options, especially a lot more people are drinking at home. You're less likely, and you just kind of want something. You want a barrel-aged beer. Oh, it's in an 8-ounce can? Cool. I can take that on. 12-ounce, that's a little... That's pushing it for some people at night. 19.
It's you have entered the I have to share range.
Yeah, or we're sleeping in tomorrow.
Or our productivity has gone to zero. But I think if you're them, right, like their packaging is very consistent across everything. And if you want to try something new, right, I feel like this is something where they're just like, let's try this new format and see if it sticks. Because, and to their credit, they didn't abandon the original format. They're giving you a choice, and right. then I think next year they'll probably decide which one to push all the chips on the table and on, you know.
Yeah. So if you rolled up, would you buy a 4-pack or 2 big ass cans?
This can is undeniable. Okay. This I'm going with this fucking 19.2-ounce can.
I think the graphic is helping sell it.
Yeah.
This year, when all the graphics look like that, doesn't move as well. Because if the little can had the same graphic, what are you doing?
And I think it's a reminder that this is the base beer. This is the one you need to pay the most attention to. Mm-hmm. Oh, and while we're talking about this, let's talk about, you know, Marty went into a deep dive about the components of this beer and how, you know, they use like 12 different batches of D-Star to come up with a blend for this one. And I actually didn't know that it was that complicated, right? He named everything from Basil Hayden to, you know, Weller Special Reserve and everything in between and all these different barrels and how they blended them all together to come with this one. So then that led to a question. I'm like, well, if you did 12 different, casks for this one, what were you doing in the previous years and did it look anything like this year's? Mm. And I think it started from like, hey, we might have started with the old Forster barrels, but then ultimately, you know, when we had issues with barrels, we just trusted whatever our barrel wrangler got us. And I know that's the wrong term, but, you know, they source these barrels from like a third party. And it's like, hey, whatever, we trust them. So we'll take those barrels and then we'll make it work. And it'll always be a blend of things.
Well, didn't he say like they only, in the beginning, what they mostly had Heaven Hill barrels. So they didn't really have an option to use other barrels or blend them. So they all kind of were very similar.
Yeah, and then I think the brewing system was smaller back in or when it first started too, mm-hmm. So it's like we could afford to just have it all be one barrel.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. I didn't understand, you know, the evolution of how they chose the source whiskey barrels for this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Death Star.
I poured a little more raspberry, and we were saying that's the new kid on the block here, but we also have in the back here Claire's Thirsty Ale, which is. What, the undeniable raspberry king of Chicago?
I think so. It's not like there's an extended list of bourbon barrel-aged raspberry stouts. But I think Claire's, you know, regardless of the vintage you pick, has always been just like a fucking money beer.
Right, and this is this year's, because it's packaged January 2021, so we're coming up on new Claire's season, because I remember the one time we were there was for... We were drinking. We did some Korean barbecue for my birthday, and then we went.
Oh, and the post game was at Haymarket.
And they had the new Claire's.
Yeah.
They had the old Claire's, and maybe the new one was coming out next week or something like that.
I think we were like, that was exactly it. And we were thinking, we were kind of surprised that we could still get this here. Mm-hmm. But I think the price was it the price point that and we were that
is
made
it like $10 a can. No, it's more.
It might be like $20 a can, right? Because $10 a can, I think we'd have been in.
Yeah, but you were a little. You got one, you
got right? One. Reluctantly.
This was a Goose Island bottle kind of thing.
Like I'm like this is. I'm leaving here with one, but this is a little stiff.
Yeah,
you know, I felt that. I felt that pain a little bit.
It was 20. It was 19.
I think so, but I think what it's funny how we talk about prices, but Claire's. You know, what can we say about Claire's? Claire's has all the components you like about raspberry, but it's not overshadowed by the stout. Like, it is a big, gigantic stout with raspberry playing. Like, raspberry is doing the backup vocals.
All right, I took a big swig.
Yeah.
You poured the plane there.
I had to get ready, man.
Claire's is way darker than Rev's raspberry beer. That's kind of insane.
I think
darker and richer it already looks.
But you know, and let's be fair. And you know, when you look at the Rev can, it says Imperial Stout. What does it say? It says Imperial Stout, aged in bourbon barrels, right? But you know, let's remember this Rev beer is an oatmeal stout. You know, and then Claire's is an Imperial Stout, so it's a little bit different, right? Like they said, there's no chocolate malt in the Revolution beer.
You know what's kind of interesting? I get more raspberry on the nose in Claire's, and I get more raspberry in the taste on Rev's. They are very different.
Yeah, the interpretation is different. You get big, bright raspberry in the Rev thing.
Right.
Which is actually kind of fun. It's a little lower in ABV. That's 11% versus everything else in the Death Star lineup is 14.8. Mm-hmm. So it's brighter, so it's almost a little more delicate, but then it's literally a smaller beer.
Claire's might want to watch out here. Rev's is, I feel like we talk about this all the time. When you get a beer that has an adjunct in it, you want to taste that adjunct.
Yeah.
So you're having a raspberry beer, and you're like, oh, I smell it. This is great. I'm ready for it. And then it doesn't taste like it. It kind of, like, sets you back.
I mean, that is one way to look at it. And then also, like, you know, the raspberry, maybe the raspberry is meant to be this kind of aromatic experience. Mm-hmm. And then it's meant to kind of fade into, like, classic stout flavors. Like, maybe that's what they were going for. I don't know.
Possibly.
But to your point.
It is A-market, so they are leaning often towards the classic or old man beer styles, right?
This is the old man beer podcast. You know, this Rev thing, man, this Rev Death by Raspberries, mm-hmm. it's like, dare I say, like, equal parts raspberry and stout, if that makes... Well, they said, Jim Sneback said on the call, we wanted to preserve all the integrity of the raspberry when we made this beer.
Okay.
So we didn't want the raspberry to be overshadowed by the stout.
Sure.
So they're kind of like, you know, they are equally present and with every sip.
Those are like mixed berry. That was the berry, was the front.
Yeah.
And the stout underneath was kind of like, oh, yeah, all right. But you want to taste that. Same with like honey or Thunderstruck. Thunderstruck's different, but...
Oh, but the other was strawberry, mixed berry.
No, there's no strawberry.
Oh, that's right, because strawberry was a barley wine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, strawberry, you're
right.
Jacket.
So you're right. If we're talking just the stouts, it was plum.
Currant.
Raspberry. Yeah. It's interesting, man. I will give them credit for this. This is a big, bright raspberry, like, you know, raspberry truffle kind of flavor. But then all these beers, man, and I hate to sound like, you know, some stupid wine guy, but it's like it's integrated, like it's all kind of in step. Like there's no edges. Like it all kind of tastes. You're all tasting all the things all at once, kind of. You know, like, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know? So the event or the release party is this Friday, probably when this episode's going up, or it already happened after it went up. If you were going in there, and you could just pick up one 4-pack, not. Get rid of this 12-ounce can because Nick's going for the 12-ounce can. You get a 12-ounce can and one 4-pack. Which one are you going for?
I'm going Cafe D's, man. Whoa. Like, after I've had them all, I'm for sure going Cafe D's.
I feel like I'm going raspberry.
You're going raspberry? Okay.
Yeah. And my 19-ounce can.
This 19-ounce can is wicked, man. I just love looking at it. You know, he's like the Grim Reaper. But he's got a, instead of a, you know, that big, what is
sickle?
Instead of the sickle, he's hammering down into a barrel. He's got a barrel mallet, a gigantic one, and he's leaning over this barrel about to pound into it.
He should be wanting to get into the barrel, not like he should be like ripping it open.
He's had his fill.
He's had enough.
He's had enough, and now he's closing it again. Yeah. Or maybe he just filled it. Maybe he just filled this barrel.
Okay, I guess he just filled it. Okay.
He just filled it, and he's, you know, closing it off and having his go to slumber. I'm going cafe. I wanted to ask on the call if they ever have plans to do, like, because they go dark matter for their coffee. Are they doing cafe, you know, like doing dark matter coffee release for this? Because he named like 3 or 4 specific beans that they use.
Well, they did have their lineup of what's going to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know one of them is Razzle Dazzle. Is that the name of it?
Razzle from LA Guns.
Oh,
is LA Guns a movie? Because everyone knew this fucking reference. I didn't know it at all.
I don't know. I thought it was like a LA Tan kind of joke.
LA gear, man.
You got lights on your shoes.
Yeah. So there's three variants. What is it? Let's start. We'll start with Razzle from LA Guns. That's Death by Raspberries and a coffee. So it's Death by Raspberries with coffee?
Right. So that's why he said you could blend the two of them to kind of get like a splash a little and get not necessarily close, but like a similar vibe of what is going to happen.
That's right, because the coffee here is going to be different from the coffee that they use in Death Star.
And that makes sense, because a lot of coffees have raspberries or fruit notes in them. So, okay, I understand how that one, and it makes a lot of sense, and probably be the one I'd go for.
Yeah, VSOD Weller Single Barrel. So what is that? A very special OD. So that's Death Star for 2 years, finished in a single Weller barrel.
Okay.
That sounds delightful. Well, if it's anything like the Goose Dinner, I thought the Weller Goose was my favorite one. And then Primary Coconut Death. Primal Coconut Death. I'm wearing my glasses, too. I should be able to see this shit.
Wild Turkey Barrel?
Yeah, it's a single Wild Turkey Barrel. And they threw 25 pounds of toasted coconut in it.
With coconut, it's all about that coconut.
That's probably my favorite adjunct, probably, is coconut.
But
then coffee.
Wasn't it Goose Island to talk about coconut and that they use coconut water because you get this, like, oily?
That's right. Like, the coconut properties kind of separate. If you were to package it, the coconut properties would separate and the oil would be at the top. And then it'd be separated from the rest of it.
This is just on draft, so they could probably take the Sixtels and just kind of like shake them up.
And just be in and out.
And
yeah.
And be kind of like, yeah, you're not going to notice. It's kind of oily.
Yeah, it's less problematic if you're just...
Your glass is going to be no mess. But...
Yeah, yeah. Your clear solo cup is going to be a mess, yeah. Because we haven't been in a while.
Are you going? Friday, 12 p.m.
I want this coconut, man. I'm not going to lie to you, Brad. But you know what? That I told you last time we went to this thing, I was just like, I shouldn't have come to this. You know, because you fall right into big crowd festival mode.
It's 12 o'clock. You could get there, go have your coconut, grab some lunch, and go back to work.
These people, Revolution fans are relentless about these parties. Yeah. We all kind of see it. They show up like it's the premier barrel program in town, because it is. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, Goose doesn't do anything like this. Like, they do what? They do Prop Day.
They Prop Day. Their 312 day thing always had fun stuff in the tap room.
That's true.
They do it differently.
That's true. It'll be on 312 Day, it'll be on Prop Day, or it'll be,
I think there was a makeup 312 event happening
at the
I've heard rumblings about.
There was a couple weeks ago there was a right?
That was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was like the 312, but they tapped a bunch of cool stuff and just had it at the tap room.
Okay.
And there were different tappings. They were talking about it at the Goose Dinner.
Did you go?
No. I missed that one.
You were supposed to go, 'cause he said, like,
we got this thing. And I was just thinking, you know, I like Goose, but their place is little as hell.
Yeah. You know, so they had outdoor.
They got sidewalk seating.
Yeah.
Isn't that? They ain't got outdoor party space.
Yeah, outdoor.
But to be fair, the Rev thing is so popular that when you go in there, it may as well be a little tap room. You know what I mean? Like,
So at this party, it's Friday. What are they limiting people coming in, or is it?
No,
post or pre-COVID, just like. Go, like, we got, just put your mask on when you're not drinking, kind of thing. Is that what's gonna happen?
That was the vibe of the last one.
Okay.
You know,
I feel like that's the general vibe. I don't really know what's happening out in the world.
Right. That was the last thing.
Like, just put your mask on and we're good to go.
Yeah. Just if you're not drinking, wear your mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a good fucking hang. You know, A because there's killer variants, and then B. We're all just here to celebrate this fucking what they do with these beers.
You could hit up, grab a coconut, and then go to Honey Butter.
Yeah, we're gonna go home. But you know, all bets are off. That's a problem. All bets are off. You go to this thing, all bets are off.
It's gone. You got laser focus, going for coconut. Get your coconut. Get out. Grab the pick.
We shall see. We got 2 days to figure this out. What else did we drink today? Oh, we drank OG, we drank Cafe Death, and we drank raspberry.
Yeah. And then, since we were talking about Goose Island and everything, they teased this picture on Instagram, and by the time this episode might be up, there might be a little more reveal on it. Do we think they are putting Bourbon County in cans?
No.
What was this picture then?
No,
I didn't. Did you see this picture?
I did. I saw the shadow of a picture, and they're just like, it's coming soon, wait.
What do you think it is?
Hey, well.
It's lit, 12-ounce cans.
They could be misleading us, right? Because they said the reason why it's in 16.9-ounce cans or bottles is because they built, over 10 years, they built the ability to have this one beer drop from coast to coast all at one time.
What if it's the sisters?
With all this variant. Oh, shit. I'm in for that, man. You know, we don't talk about the fucking Madame Rose enough, man. It's a 2-year-old brown ale on fucking raspberries. I fucking love Madame Rose.
Are they going to explode in cans?
I mean, Weiner figured out how to put their fucking
put
sour.
Madame Rose, Juliet, and Sophie in the cans?
No. Madame Rose, Juliet, and.
Sophie gone?
No, Sophie's not a sister. Oh. It just feels like he's a sister because it's all female names. It's Madame Rose, Juliet, and. God damn it. Lolita. It's Lolita, yeah.
There was three of them. There was a picture of three of the sisters.
Oh, shit. That'd be cool, man. Mm. I don't. If I was betting, if I had $20 in cash, I would bet that it's the sisters over a BCS canning.
Or going into the holidays, are they like something else? Are they like
some new shit?
I don't know. Like a pumpkin and a cinnamon and like how basic do they go?
Here? That was in the comments. That there was that we're waiting for. They said the boysenberry deep woods. That I was telling Brad, like, my favorite syrup if I go to fucking IHOP is the boysenberry syrup, boysenberry Death Star, and then
pumpkin,
and then pumpkin Death Star,
and then
yeah,
you probably need like a winter spice. But then it's like the cinnamon muddled.
Oh yeah, it's like the glog wine.
Yeah,
you fucking. Need a glug, you need a death by a glug. You need a death by glug, man. But yeah, I'm curious to know what that goose thing is too, right? Sisters. I kind of hope it's the sisters, cause dude, all right, we were talking, and you know, in the pre-show, how all right, 12-ounce, 19.2 for the new Death Star, and then it's an ode to the bomber, which was 22.
Yeah.
Which is a 750, but the sister, that bottle is a 765, so it's bigger than a bomber. You know, what I mean? Like that's a massive commitment. You know, even over brunch with like two people, that's a lot of fucking beer. So you come back with the sisters in cans. I mean, that's a whole new ball of wax there. Yeah. God, this really is the old man podcast. I said a whole new ball of wax.
Jeez. All right, that should be interesting. We probably know more. The next episode, because it was teased, and what, you get like 2 days for teasing an image, and then you gotta like tell people, and people are like, fuck you, I don't care.
Yeah, I was like, you waited too long. My investment has left. I no longer care.
It's the weekend. You can tell me about Friday, it's over. Oh man, okay. What else? You made it out somewhere. You made it out to a new
Yeah, man. Shout out to Milk.
The show was a hard format. It's all.
It's just like free-form jazz at this point, right? If we do the same show every week, we'll get fined. It's got to be different every time. That's
fast forward. I'm skipping. I don't care what
they
did.
It's Milk Money out in LaGrange, man.
Right. So yeah. I had them at the Beer in the Glass. Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
What do you think when you went there?
The space is fucking amazing. It's on Main Street, you know, whatever the main drag is in LaGrange. So it's a storefront.
It's probably Main Street.
Yeah, it's probably literally Main Street. Cobblestone roads, you know, fucking fancy supermarket across the street.
Those are probably like a train, like right around the corner.
All the small town USA things, you know.
The East Hollywood right there.
True Value. I shit you not. It's a True Value across the street. But you walk in this place, man, and so first of all, it's like a scratch kitchen, you know. So it kind of feels like a, you know, like a fancy kind of a fancy hipster like eatery where they're making the food right in front of you because they got this open kitchen right here. And then you walk down the path, the hallway where the bathrooms are, and there's a bunch of like private dining areas and shit in case you want to party.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like marble bright lights, marble bar top, you know, kid friendly, very cool scene.
Yeah. Did you drink or did you just eat? Or did you eat too?
Wasn't really hungry.
I feel like I've seen a picture of that burger.
Yeah, they kept talking about how they take a lot of pride in their food program and how they make everything in-house. But no, I just showed up. I just wanted to get around because, you know, it was rained out. And I was supposed to go to size game, but it rained that day.
You're, like, way far the opposite way.
I was upset. I had to plan my whole day, bro, hanging out.
I'm going to LaGrange.
That's exactly what happened. I'm like, well, if I go to LaGrange, what's – no, first it was like, well, I'm going to just go eat and drink around Sox Park. So now I'm on 35th Street.
Like, why are that's not far? Moody
Town. I ended up at like the churro fucking factory, and then
you're pissed. Even
and ended up at like some Asian fried chicken joint.
Okay.
And I'm like, what do I do now? And I'm like, well, fuck it. I might as well go to LaGrange. I'm already south.
Really, LaGrange is that close?
It was not. This was a bad idea. Let's be clear.
I don't think of.
It was.
Park
it was south of where. It was south of downtown.
Yeah, it's sort of like a southwest suburb.
It is very southwest. So if 75th Street West,
right, it's
you take Ogden all the way down.
It's off of the like Naperville train line.
Yeah, so it's like not that far, but on your way to Downers Grove and Naperville and LaGrange. Milk Money.
Yeah, all right.
Milk Money has a batch cocktail program, which was cool. They had like five different cocktails. They let you try a little bit of everything on draft, so you can know, like, hey, we're serious about our cocktails. You know, they it's a scratch kitchen, and then the light lager had that, right. And then I had their Dippa, and their head brewer used to brew at 350, out in Tinley Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then he left there and went to Rock Bottom. I think like a Warrenville location, maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. And then this is his third project, Milk Money.
Nice. So, okay.
There's some cash in this product. This ain't no bootstrap, you know, fucking industrial park thing. This is like a nice fucking restaurant.
Yeah, I remember. It was on Facebook. They were looking for investors. I remember. So there's like an investor round that went into it. So there's people who threw in cash to make sure it works.
And, yeah.
I saw it and it was like, what, during COVID? I was like, who the fuck is opening a brewery at this time?
Didn't make any sense.
Does it? But the beer's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, people dog on 350 at times, mm-hmm. but I don't know, they have a gimmick, and people like their stuff, and, it's a thing. It's maybe not the best brewery in Tinley Park, but it's like, niche.
Best brewery in Tinley Park might be...
I'd say
Or Hailstorm. I thought Sound Growler. Sound Growler is the one I would drink at. And they have tacos. That would be my first. If I'm in Tinley Park, my first stop is Sound Growler. I only said Hailstorm because Warts. You know, my Bach with my cock. What is it? They got a couple of nice awards in their history.
Cool.
But yeah, I prefer to hang out at Sound Growler if I go.
All right. Well, I recommend everyone going and picking up some 4-packs, getting over Revolution. 4-packs, 19-ounce cans. Hit it up. Look for Claire's coming in January as well, since we're drinking that also. I think that's going to do it for this episode.
One more shout-out to the Revolution, man. They got they are the official brewery of the Chicago Fire. So the next MLS soccer season that comes up at Soldier Field, this is their 25th anniversary of the soccer team there. And then they're doing a hazy IPA year-round that's going to debut.
Is the soccer season over?
I haven't been to soccer game.
They gotta get on that Chicago Sky, that women's basketball. They're like gonna fucking win this shit. They
Dude,
get on that.
They're in the finals.
Yeah.
Chicago Sky are three wins from the WNBA championship. Yeah.
Do it.
So well, I bet we'll see that next.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool. So Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch. We're not crushing 14% beer here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram, our reels, our pictures are there, and website chicagobeerpass.com. Everything's posted there. Take care.
Cheers.